fundamentally embedded in the decision, in all the preparations for the Rio meeting, and the two underlying, as well as the two underlying themes. Mr. Chair, on Chapter 2, my delegation has observed that the language proposed is mainly on the recognition and acknowledgement of the challenges, while the heading is about the renewing of the political commitment. Therefore, it is very critical that while we recognize and acknowledge these challenges, we need to set a strong tone on political commitment to take action. In this regard, my delegation would like to see, in addition to what has already been said, a commitment to offer meaningful support to developing countries, in particular the African countries, in order to address persistent challenges associated with the implementation of Sustainable Development Agenda. As I've already mentioned, Rio+20 is about action. We need to make bold decisions in order to address the myriad challenges that impede developing countries to achieve their sustainable development path. Chairman, I'm looking forward to a fruitful informal consultation in the coming 2 days, where my delegation will submit, if required, specific language on various aspects. And let me further reiterate my government's commitment to see Rio+20 producing an action-orientated outcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Now I give the floor to the distinguished representative of Pakistan.
Thank you, distinguished co-chairs. I join other speakers in facilitating you and the Bureau of the Rio+20 for your strong leadership and untiring efforts in producing the zero draft. Our deep appreciation is also due to Mr. Shazu Kang, Under Secretary General and Secretary General of the Conference, and his team for the commendable work in supporting you and the Bureau. Pakistan associates itself with a statement made by the distinguished ambassador of Algeria on behalf of the Group of 77 in China. In our national capacity, we would like to make the following points. We are fully cognizant of the enormity of task before us, compounded by the paucity of time, to reach an action-oriented and successful conclusion to negotiations which we are beginning today. Pakistan would remain steadfast in supporting your effort to achieve a global consensus in overcoming the gaps that have impeded sustainable development and achieving the objectives of this conference. As a starting point for this process, the zero draft before us indeed represents the lowest common denominator of positions and views on the two themes and objectives of the conference. Co-chairs, not all global economic trends are positive. The global economy remains under the strain of deepening debt and financial crisis, and it is ominous to note that the confidence in global cooperation has dropped significantly. An enhanced economic disruption in the next 12 months cannot be ruled out. Hence, the task before all of us might become even more daunting in the coming months. These problems notwithstanding, with this zero draft, a credible beginning has been made, and we are confident that we are ready to forge ahead despite difficulties. We note that the zero draft calls for bold and decisive action on the objectives and themes of the conference, and we would like to translate this into reality. We also note with keen interest the proposal to launch a regular review on the state of the planet. Let me now, co-chair, make some remarks on the substance. First, in our view, it is important that the outcome reshapes the institutional framework for sustainable development over the next few years. We note that the zero draft captures the options that have emerged in the preparatory process. Some of the key ideas in the zero draft, such as establishment of sustainable development goals and possible establishment of sustainable development council, are interesting. Having said that, these proposals require considerable work between now and June 2012, with a view to reaching a common understanding on the purpose and objectives. We note that informal engagements have taken place on concept of sustainable development goals. However, there has not been any conversation, formal or informal, on the concept of Sustainable Development Council. Pakistan is of the view that the Bureau or the co-chairs should consider informal facilitation on these issues before developing the text any further. Second, our efforts at integrating the three pillars would remain deficient without an effective role and participation of international financial institutions and the UN-led development programs. A political buy-in by these international institutions is vital to our work. We would therefore propose that during the intervening period, engagement with the international financial institution is further strengthened to forge a common perception on the gaps and how existing framework can be synchronized. Third, the practical result of our effort hinges on the implementation at the national level. In our view, there is a considerable scope in enhancing and strengthening the UN-led institutional setup at the national level. In this regard, we should consider reviewing the mandate of the UN Development Programme to ensure that sustainable development becomes one of its core priorities in the post-2015 global development architecture. Fourth, there is a strong need for an implementation framework alongside provision of means of implementation. As captured in the Zero Draft, transition towards green economy imposes additional costs, especially on the developing countries. Meeting this additional cost cannot remain restricted to ODA framework alone. As part of the Rio outcome, we should seriously consider identifying new and additional financial sources to ensure a robust implementation framework. And finally, as proposed by the Group of 77 in China, Pakistan believes that an integrated approach incorporating economic, social, and environmental aspect is vital to confronting the challenge of sustainable development. To this end, we believe the conference should agree on a roadmap that assesses the implementation of commitments and reviews the progress achieved through its institutional framework by 2030. Co-chairs, before I conclude, let me make two observations on the process of negotiations ahead. First, we believe that following the initial discussions and the proposed amendment by various groups on the text as a whole, the Bureau should consider evolving an option text for the next phase of informal negotiations. Secondly, it is our view that the two co-chairs should lead the negotiations. However, some specific issues might necessitate a more focused conversation and negotiations. Pakistan would therefore urge the Bureau not to foreclose the possibility of informal facilitations on some specific issues, of course, with an agreement. In conclusion, let me reiterate our assurance of my delegation's full support in discharging the difficult task that lay ahead of you. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you. Now I give the floor to the distinguished representative of New Zealand.
Thank you, Co-Chairs. We join others in thanking you for the Zero Draft. In our view, it contains a good basis for negotiations. We also associate ourselves with the statement made on behalf of the Pacific Island Forum States this morning, which focused mainly on oceans and fisheries issues. These are a priority for New Zealand. We were pleased to see the references in the Zero Draft to these issues, although, as the Pacific Statement mentioned, we seek some further strengthening. We will put a longer version of this statement on the website, but just wish to highlight a few key points now. First, on the structure of the Zero Draft. We commend the co-chairs for a comparatively short document. Our aim now should be to make it even more concise and focused. The final text should be inspiring and action-oriented, one that can capture the public imagination. We therefore need to make every word count. One strong reference to an issue is better than a multitude. As we have mentioned in our written comments, there is scope for streamlining. For example, while there needs to be a reaffirmation of relevant documents, such as those from Rio, this should be done at the beginning of the document and then taken as read, without the need to mention commitments individually throughout the text. The draft currently has three sections entitled Framework for Action. This is potentially confusing. For example, much of Section 5A seems to be green economy related actions. In our view, there should be one such framework. In addition, a number of paragraphs propose goals, targets, indicators, strategies or toolkits, and we think some rationalisation is needed. Before working through the proposals individually, we would suggest a general discussion at the March meeting to gain a clearer understanding of the objectives underpinning each proposal. We are also pleased to see that the draft addresses some other priorities for New Zealand, including the phasing out of fossil fuel, fisheries and agricultural subsidies. We would like a much greater degree of specificity, as well as more ambitious timeframes, and will be proposing some amendments to those provisions. Some other issues that deserve greater prominence include the importance of national ownership and leadership in sustainable development, and the importance of enabling environments, including good governance at all levels. New Zealand would also like more emphasis on better use of resources, which should come from a range of sources. It is also important to build on progress made on aid effectiveness, most recently at Busan. New Zealand does not yet have final positions on the institutional framework for sustainable development options in the text. We would suggest that time be set aside in March for a general exchange of views before we start on paragraph by paragraph consideration. In our view, there needs to be an emerging consensus around what we are actually trying to achieve. We therefore look forward to discussion on the detail of all these issues at the coming meetings. Thank you.
Thank you. We are nearing 6 o'clock, and I believe we may have time for a couple of speakers. So I would like to give the floor next to the distinguished representative of Thailand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the outset, Thailand wishes to thank the co-chairs and secretariat for their commendable efforts in preparing the zero draft of the outcome document. Thailand welcomes this initial consultation on the zero draft as an opportunity for member states to engage at the earliest stage in the preparation of one of the most important political documents of this decade and possibly beyond. Thailand aligns itself with the statement by Algeria on behalf of the Group of 77 and China. Mr. Chairman, Thailand would like to emphasize a few key elements that should be reflected in the outcome document. First, the outcome document must reaffirm the political commitment to sustainable development that places people at the center. Thailand strongly believes that the principle contained in the Rio Declaration Agenda 21 and the Johannesburg Plan of Implementation, among others, should continue to guide the international community in implementing agreed commitments. Second, sustainable development must be implemented through an integrated approach in a balanced manner. In this regard, the outcome document must be action-oriented. It must incorporate all three pillars of sustainable development, while keeping in mind the intergenerational aspect, as well as interlinkages of existing and emerging challenges. In this regard, the zero draft unfortunately does not address quite a few important issues, which are integral of sustainable development, including natural disaster, health, especially universal health care among social protection instruments, and sustainable agriculture development, which is central to food security, eradication of poverty and hunger, rural development, and empowerment of women in developing countries. Third, the outcome document needs to address existing implementation gaps. In our view, the outcome document should incorporate an enforcement mechanism and incentives for capacity building, especially in science and innovation, as well as transfer of environmentally sound technologies. The consideration may include enhancement of establishment of centers of excellence in partnership with countries or relevant regional institutes in their respective area of competence. Mr. Chairman, I take this occasion to reiterate Thailand's full support and commitment to the Rio Plus 20. We sincerely hope that the outcome document will set a new development path that promotes a sustainable, people-centered agenda for present and future generations. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And next speaker would be the distinguished representative of UN Regional Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the honor to deliver this statement on behalf of the five regional commissions, namely ECA, ESCAP, ECLAC, ESQA, and ECE. We appreciate the opportunity provided to us for general comments on the draft outcome document before us today on Rio Plus 20. As member states proceed into the negotiation stage, allow me to highlight a few critical issues for your consideration from the Regional Commission's perspective. 20 years after the adoption of Agenda 21 and the Rio principles, the Rio Plus 20 conference presents an opportunity to strongly focus on implementation issues through an action-oriented outcome document based on the agreed Rio principles, include Principle 10. We welcome the emphasis on an effective integration of the pillars of sustainable development. We stress in this regard the importance of a multi-sectoral and multidisciplinary approach to achieve this objective. In this context, the growing importance of the regional dimension of sustainable development must be kept in mind. Many of the good practices, practical examples, and successful policies of an integrated approach to sustainable development are a result of collective action at the regional and sub-regional levels. Therefore, regional and sub-regional cooperation is critical to implement an effective sustainable development agenda. Active cooperation and collaboration between regional commissions, regional and sub-regional organizations, regional development banks, non-governmental organizations, and other institutions at the regional level is of utmost importance for supporting country-level actions. In this context, more attention should be paid to the institutional framework at the regional and national levels, including the coherent and effective linkage with any institutional structures envisaged at the global level. ECOSOC has an important role to play in this regard, and we hope it could be strengthened accordingly. The draft recognizes the limitations of GDP as a measure of well-being. In this context, we stress that inclusion and equity should underpin any measurement framework that may be developed in this regard. Women and youth should be at the core of such inclusive and equitable sustainable development efforts. The goals and indicators developed in this regard should also take into account regional specificities and be suitable for adaptation in different regional, sub-regional, and national contexts. The success of our efforts to promote sustainable development will depend considerably on the availability and access to knowledge and technology. Apart from developed countries, a number of developing countries are storehouses of traditional knowledge, technology, and increasingly of innovation. The role of South-South cooperation as a complement to North-South cooperation is central to this effort and should be further emphasized. Key sectors for the transition to a green economy are being dealt with in Section 5 of the draft. Sustainable transport has important impacts on all three pillars of sustainable development and needs to be addressed alongside the other issues and areas in this section. Chair, ladies and gentlemen, by serving as an umbrella for regional sustainable development governance with a close link to the global level, the regional commissions are central to the development of a coherent regional framework for a better integrated institutional framework for sustainable development. As existing platforms for experience sharing and knowledge networking, as well as for forging regional positions and empowering regional voices on sustainable development, as reflected among others through the regional preparatory meetings for this conference, the commissions are natural partners for implementing any envisaged knowledge sharing platforms. The regional coordination mechanism, mandated by ECOSOC and chaired by the regional commissions, should continue to act as the platform for collaboration of the UN system with regional and sub-regional groups and organizations on sustainable development issues. In the UN summit in 1992, followed by the World Summit on Sustainable Development in Johannesburg, member states entrusted the regional commissions with specific tasks, with the desired focus in Rio Plus 20 on implementations and actions toward an inclusive and equitable sustainable development paradigm. The regional commissions are well placed to further accompany the efforts of member states in this regard by continuing to harness our convening power, our multidisciplinary technical expertise, analysis, and policy advice in this regard. We pledge our commitment to doing so and appreciate your continued trust in this regard. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. And this concludes the session two of our initial discussion. And I appreciate all the speakers and participants for their valuable presentation and contribution, and for their cooperation and concentration as well. There are still about yeah, 19 speakers on my list so far. If there's any additional speakers who wants to take floor tomorrow. And the first three speakers tomorrow morning would be Philippines, Switzerland, and Venezuela. And we will continue our discussion tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. This meeting is adjourned.